Thanks, Reynolds. So today, A, thank you for being here. If I haven't met you, my name's Madeline McLean. I've been at PCPC for about 7 years, which is kind of crazy to say, but it's been a really sweet home. So if you're just visiting or you've been here a while, I'd encourage you to get plugged in and involved. And so today I'm going to start looking over Psalm 66. So if you have a Bible or you want to grab one on the table, I'd encourage you to open it up. We'll be jumping around a little bit in the Psalm and just kind of sharing. So first, I kind of want to open up in prayer, and I'll just start with a little prayer for myself. Dear Lord, I come to you humbly, and I just pray that anything that comes out of my mouth is a reflection of what you want to share today, Lord. I pray that you allow me to share my story and what you've done in and through me in a way that resonates with others, in a way that they are able to read through Psalms, in a way that impacts them in their walk with you, Lord. As we have done of days of old, so many people throughout the generations have cried out to you. And so, Lord, we are thankful for this time to get to reflect on that. And I pray. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start by reading the Psalm 66. So, how awesome are your deeds? Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds? So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in deeds towards the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You have brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifices of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Okay. Psalm 66 is one of thanksgiving. How awesome are your deeds? Come and see what the Lord has done. Blessed be God. One of my favorite things about reading through the Psalms is how vulnerable, raw, angry, passionate, pleading, joyful the authors speak to God. Their honesty gives me the freedom to approach God in prayer when I am joyfully thankful and when I am angry and uncertain. Most of the time, my prayers wrap together all of these emotions similar to this Psalm. So I like alliterations, and similar to, I think Reynolds does too, because on the back of what you'll get to read is all the A's for personal reflection of awareness, admission, attune. But for mine, I'm picking three. Remember, redeem, rejoice. So these three words are gonna kind of help walk us through this psalm and how the Lord has kind of spoken to me through it and walked me through my walk with him. So remember, verse 5, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him. I think it's so important to remember what the Lord has done in our lives, markers of his faithfulness, his nearness, his power, just as the Israelites needed constant reminders. What I find really interesting of the Lord parting the waters throughout history is he did it first in the most notable of bringing the Israelites out of Egypt in crossing the Red Sea from slavery into the wilderness. But then he also brings them back through the waters and parts them again in Joshua, where he parts the Jordan and they're walking into Canaan. So I think in that is, he is faithful to them. I'll read from Exodus and Joshua just to give us some bearings of that. But in Exodus, he says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And in Joshua 3:14 through 16, the waters, and I'll read just 16, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heavy, very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down towards the Sea of Arabah in the Salt Sea were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. So all Israel had been waiting for the generation of unbelief to die in the wilderness and a new generation of faith to take the land as they trusted God. Crossing the Jordan River was the last step in Israel's journey from Egypt to Canaan. So as we've kind of like remember that the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, God, through his provision, parted the Red Sea. He led them actually into the wilderness where every day they had to rely on him for manna. And in that, they were unfaithful. They doubted him. And truly, then they all had to be kind of pass away to then enter the promised land of Canaan. So just kind of that is part of the story of just kind of remembering. I think the Red Sea and walking through it is definitely a miracle that is referenced a lot. And so we all, and I need constant reminders of how the Lord has walked through the valley with me and brought me out of slavery into freedom. So just reminders of those. Okay, so verse 10, for you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You may be familiar with the silver analogy woven throughout the Bible, but it is truly one of my favorites and has helped me in many seasons of trials. The analogy is rooted in how ancient metal workers purified raw silver. The refiner puts the silver in an intensely hot fire so the impurities rise to the surface, allowing the smith to scrape the impurities away. The smith repeats this process until the silver is so pure that he can clearly see his own reflection in it. It represents how God allows us to be in the fire of trials. Our sin comes to the surface and he lovingly scrapes it away. Again and again, God does this until he can see his reflection in us. But it's important that he is seated watching. He's waiting. He's not going to leave us into the fire longer than we can handle. And he's watching, and through that, the fire will not overwhelm us. And he knows exactly what we can handle. So as I look back on my life, there are so many big and seemingly small markers of the Lord's deeds in my life. My childhood church dissolving led me to pursue faith on my own, allowing me to fall in love with worship and Christian community in high school as my friend invited me to their youth group. I remember the exact road I prayed to the Lord for that community after a season of church drought. One of my friends from that church on the mountain told me to join him at RUF at Auburn. A friend from RUF told me about the Fellows Initiative. Having a free summer after I graduated, I interned in Dallas that led me to a job the following year. My Fellows director telling me to attend a church in Dallas called Park Cities Presbyterian. These moments probably mean nothing to you, but all of these moments, although seemingly small at the time, felt similar to a shepherd's staff leading his sheep. When I know in my heart I am prone to wonder, I have to remember his faithfulness. And because I know the Lord has been with me, he will be with me and is with me, I trust him because he is a good, good father. and has been faithful all of my life. He was with me last year as I unexpectedly lost the job that led me to Dallas. He was watching me in the fire as pride, shame, mistrust rose to the surface. More clearly than ever, it revealed to me how closely I gripped to status, security, and control. Questions of my worth, my place, my purpose all bubbled up. My identity was tied into so much outside the Lord. And he lovingly scraped those away until I looked more and more like him. So you may be familiar with Elizabeth Elliot. She did a lot of work, and her husband ended up passing away in missionaries by the tribe that they were ministering to. And she has a lot of wonderful quotes, so I'd like to share one now. Where does your security lie? Is God your refuge, your hiding place, your stronghold, your shepherd, your counselor, your friend, your redeemer, your savior, your guide? If he is, you don't need to search any further for security. So, I don't know all of y'all's stories. I think the older I get, the more I realize how complicated struggling and suffering is and how it shows up in different ways in each of our life. But I do know that God is with us in the fire, even if we can't see it clearly. And through all of it, he is refining and purifying us to be more closer reflection of him. Which brings me to redeem. The Lord showed me he was with me. He allowed for a community to comfort me. He allowed for doors to open. He ultimately allowed an opportunity to stay in Dallas. And all of this represents his redeeming power. But more I trust him more fully, my identity is more securely rooted in him. I trust in walking the next steps that are before me. I used to see my life in a roadmap, but now I just see as the path winds and turns that I just need to take the next step. And trust God, just the next step, and allow that to be enough, just as God provided daily manna for the Israelites in the wilderness. Another female of the faith, Corrie ten Boom, who was Dutch during the time of World War II, and her family was hiding Jews in the Holocaust. She was ultimately imprisoned in a concentration camp where her sister ended up dying days before she was released. Mentions these quotes to hold on to. Hold everything in your hands lightly, otherwise it hurts when God pries your fingers open. And never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. But also there are some areas in my life that aren't redeemed, where the fire still burns with the brokenness of the world, trials that feel too heavy to share, that aren't pretty, that don't have a perfect ending of redemption. It's messy, heartbreaking, and enduring. And I may never fully get to experience full redemption on this side of heaven, but I trust that God's at work. So when I feel I have a crushing burden on my back, I come back to this saying that a lot of my friends have heard, so bear with. A burden shared is a burden halved, and a joy shared is a joy doubled. It may come as a surprise to some of you, but I'm not the biggest sharer of my personal burdens, but I have gotten a lot better at it throughout the years because I have hit breaking points in my life where I need Christian community to ask, listen, and sit, to allow the heaviness to be shared. It doesn't change the fact of the situation, but the load starts to feel lighter. So now let's double that joy. What a gift we have in prayer to shout to the Lord our praise, our anger, our awe, our brokenness, our sadness, our joy. In verse 1, it says, shout for joy to the God, all the earth, sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. We are loved by God. We are loved by God more than I can even fathom. Knowing the Father's love for me has changed everything. It has drastically changed my prayer life because I know God loves me and can handle my fear and my anger. But because he is mighty and faithful and truly good, I get to sing praises and shout for God, for joy. Verse 19 and 20, but truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. We get to bring prayers to God, and he cares about all of it. We get to bring our heart to the Lord for him to search it, and for God to lead us on. We have the privilege to share what is really on our hearts to a God who cares. His love is enduring, his love is unshakable, his love is steadfast. Sometimes I feel like a buoy at sea. I like analogies, sorry guys. Tossed up and down and around by the waves of this life. But I know there is a stronghold anchor keeping me. I will not drift too far from that anchor. The Lord holds me securely in his steadfast love. So another quote from Corrie ten Boom to kind of wrap up our time is, today I know that such memories are the key not to the past, but to the future. I know that the experiences of our lives, when we let God use them, become the mysterious and perfect preparation for the work he will give us to do. And so, as I was reflecting on Psalm 66, kind of three areas came to mind that I want to give y'all as additions to y'all reflection times. One is mighty deeds, two is burdens, and three is come and see. So mighty deeds, reflect back on where the Lord has shown up in your life. How has he prepared you to walk the next step in faith? Burdens, what burdens are you carrying? How might you be able to half the burden with others? How does the Lord ultimately lift our burdens? And then come and see, how can you share what the Lord has done and is doing in your life? And that is all I have for y'all. So thanks.